Okay, thanks very much. We're going to talk about the, believe it or not, 8 years from now, we're going to be discussing mainly the 2020 Olympics. But I guess before we get on to that, are you able to just give me your assessment of how you think London did this year? So does that mean you sort of fear for East London's future in Stratford? Okay, let's turn our attention to 2020. I'll go through the three cities, probably in the order of likeliness that they get the games. So we'll start off with Tokyo. Tokyo, of course, hosted the 1964 Summer Olympics. They've hosted the Winter Olympics a couple of times, the final of the World Cup a few years ago, and they've even got the Rugby World Cup coming in 2019. Do you make them the favourites out of the three cities that are out for it? And can you assess what you think Tokyo could offer?
More construction, or more order, they also are admitting to the highest level of expenditure, but still only $4.5 billion. So well, that's about £3 billion, which so if you compare that to London's 9, which I would argue is probably an understatement anyway, I think they've got a long way to go on coming clean on what it's going to cost. I think that there are two problems that they're facing, and again, this was made clear from the IOC's assessment, which took place in the summer, or which was published in the summer, and the two problems are, one, a relatively low level of public support, so they 66% in favour, but that's well behind their rivals. So that's one problem. They only want to go places, the IOC only want to go places where they will be welcomed with adulation. And then the other problem is a rather more intolerable, which is because of the earthquake last year, questions are being raised about the financial, about the energy future of Tokyo, and I think it's a bit presumptuous of the IOC to get involved in those kind of debates. I think it's really ludicrous to suggest that Japan is going to seriously have any major crises in long-term energy supply, which would prevent them from hosting the Olympics, or at least if they did, then I think the rest of the world would probably find itself in deep trouble as well. So I think that's overblown. But so overall, I mean, a very coherent and sensible bid. And of course, the final thing to say is that, in the end, it's probably not to do with all the basic economic indicators of the bid that make the difference. The politics is probably as important. And in terms of the politics, the sense that it is Asia's, that Asia would be a good place to host the Games this time, I think is a strong one. And I think having had the Games in London this time, I think the European bid, when Istanbul and Madrid will be seen as European bids, I think that puts Tokyo at an advantage and the others at a disadvantage.
Absolutely. I mean, and obviously, can you run me through your sort of pros and cons on those two other cities, Istanbul and Madrid, please?
Right. So I think Madrid is clearly a strong bid in the sense that they've been trying a long time, and again, there's an intense level of public support. So it costs Spain as a whole, and they claim 84% of the population are in favour. So I think that gives them a lot of strength. They're also the Madrid one is also potentially the lowest cost. They claim to have 78% of the venues built. So not surprisingly, they come out with a relatively small budget of just $2.4 billion, which is really, if you really could host the Olympic Games for that smaller price, that really would be value for money. And indeed, if you could do that, you would actually end up saying that the Olympics was was viable in cost benefit terms. It would actually be an economic benefit rather than the economic drain that it historically has been. Part of that achievement is the fact that they claim to have most of the venues in place, and that actually they're offering a very compact game, so it really is all tightly centered inside the city, not spread out over vast distances. The problem, the negatives for Spain, I think, again, are more to do with the politics and the more broader political macroeconomic environment than they are to do with the bid itself. So obviously, you have to be blind not to know that Spain has serious economic problems right now. And unlike perhaps Japanese energy problems, the economic crisis in Spain is unlikely to disappear in the foreseeable future. So the debt overhang is going to be huge, pressure on public spending is enormous, and it may well be that by 2020 growth will have resumed, but Spain would be undertaking this project in a world of austerity, which is in some ways not really good politics. As I say, I think Spain's problem is Madrid's problem is being very clearly a European bid, and I think there's an international sense that Europe's had more than its fair share historically, and therefore there'll be a reluctance to go to Europe rank outsider compared to Paris, and for similar reasons in many ways, a sense that in terms of infrastructure, in terms of organisation, they're not really there. They've got a lot to do, so they've got 25 venues, they're saying, to be built, and they've got, they're talking about an investment of $3.2 billion. The evaluation committee of in terms of pinpointing problems, it was the only of the three cities, Istanbul was the only one where the committee pinpointed specific issues to do with the bid rather than to do with the general political and economic environment of the country. And that's obviously a negative. But London had similar doubts cast on its bid, and obviously we know it came through that. So sometimes these evaluation reports can be quite misleading in terms of the overall outcome. It has intense support inside Turkey, so it has 87% support, and it would be interesting politically because Turkey it sees itself as being a European nation, but it might also generate quite a lot of support as a developing nation, or they probably wouldn't like that label, but a newly growing economy, I don't know how you want to put it, but as opposed to an established economic power, and I think, you know, that might generate some sympathy from other IOC members who might say, well, it's their turn, rather in the way that South Africa got the 2010 World Cup. I think actually the biggest problem that Istanbul has is something of an own goal, if you will forgive the pun, because they had decided to bid to host Euro 2020 as well.
Yeah.
Now, that really is quite foolish, since it's enough of a challenge to host the Summer Games. It's really absurd to think that they would want to do that, and in the same year, host the second biggest football tournament in the world. It almost suggests that they don't really believe they're going to get the Summer Games, and this is their reserve strategy. So I think that's a big mistake, and I think that will count heavily against them. So I think that's probably been the biggest negative in terms of their campaign.
Great. So just in summation, you would say, as things stand, it sounds as though it's Tokyo's maybe to lose at this stage.
So Tokyo is a clear favourite, and it's easy to see why the IOC would feel safest going with a Tokyo bid, and why that would work out. But having said that, you probably would have guessed Chicago over Rio in 2016, and you definitely would have bet on Paris over London in 2012. So clearly. The wisdom of so-called experts like myself is questionable, to say the least.
Yeah, I mean, well, not just yourself. President Obama flew all the way to Copenhagen, didn't he, for the 2016 bid, and I think they were the first city knocked out.
Right, and I think one of the things to say is this is an extremely peculiar electorate.
Yeah.
So the first thing is it's a very odd bunch of people. So you have sports administrators from very diverse sports. You have very different nationalities, very different social backgrounds. A lot of people like Princess Anne. I mean, who knows how she votes in these things, or even what motivates her? Because that's the other thing. It's very hard to. I mean, we're good. In general, we can predict elections quite well because we can take opinion polls and find out what people are actually thinking.
Yeah.
We can't take opinion polls in this election, and so it really is only on the day that you really get to see. What's going on? Plus, the other thing is, there's an awful lot of politics in terms of the alliances that people can make, short term and long term. A lot of people are interested in, there are a lot of favours that can be done here, and long term alliances that can be built. So, what it seems to an outsider may have very little to do with what is really going on the inside.